The political year has kicked off with policy fights, a Senate standoff and threats of an early double dissolution election. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has said he could be moved to call an early election if the government can't get its bill to reinstate the Australian Building and Construction Commission through the Senate. It needs six of the eight crossbenchers to vote in support of the bill. The government has agreed to show crossbench senators a redacted version of the confidential volumes of the Royal Commission before they vote on the legislation. And the Attorney-General, George Brandis, has written to his Labor counterpart, Mark Dreyfus, offering to give him the same opportunity. Mr Dreyfus has declined to view the confidential volumes despite requesting access to them last week. For more on this, Mr Dreyfus joins me live in the studio. Good morning.
Very good to be with you, Michael.
Do you think the threat of a double dissolution election is real?
I think that the threat of a double dissolution election is something that the Prime Minister, Mr Turnbull, will continue to talk about. It's one of the Prime Minister's advantages, and it's perceived to have some tactical importance. But we are ready for a double dissolution election, for a general election, for any kind of election, any time the Liberal Party wants to bring that on.
So you'd be happy to fight an election on the issue of union corruption?
I would be particularly happy to fight an election on the issue of industrial relations, on the rights of ordinary working people in Australia. We are in a bipartisan position with the government about union corruption. No one is in any doubt that Labor absolutely abhors union corruption. I personally hate union corruption.
Well,
That's why we've put forward policies that are designed to deal with union corruption.
Well, why oppose the reintroduction of the building industry watchdog?
The building industry watchdog, so-called, the Australian Building and Construction Commission, is now being tried on again by this government. It tried and failed in 2013 and 14 to put a bill through the Australian Parliament to reinstate this ABCC. Labor's had a very clear policy for a decade now. I was elected to Parliament in 2007 on a platform that said we are going to abolish the Australian Building and Construction Commission, which does nothing about corruption. It is not an agency which is designed to deal with any criminal matters. It's about the enforcement of the civil law. It's about civil breaches. And as we've made it clear when we abolished the ABCC in 2008, it's something which should be abhorrent to right-thinking Australians.
Okay, so you don't think that this industry that as we've seen, it does have a fair amount of criminal activity, has had a fair amount of criminal activity involved in it, standover tactics, bikie gangs, all sorts of unsavoury behaviour. You don't think that it deserves to have a standalone regulator?
Well, as I say, the ABCC is designed not to deal with breaches of the criminal law. It's not designed to deal with corruption. It's designed to deal, and when it existed, when it was set up by the Howard government, it was there to deal with enforcing the civil law, the industrial relations legislation. I find it extraordinary that a government which has set up an inquiry into traditional rights and freedoms, an inquiry that the Australian Law Reform Commission is now conducting, which looks at laws that abrogate the right to against self-incrimination, laws that deal with legal professional privilege, laws that deal with freedom of association, with freedom of speech, has actually now for the second time introduced to the Parliament a bill which does all of those things. It takes away all of those traditional rights and freedoms. It's this government and Mr Turnbull need to think hard about whether they are in fact a government, as Mr Turnbull likes to say, that is interested in traditional rights and freedoms, or whether in fact they're pretty selective and they're quite happy to attack the rights and freedoms of ordinary working people when it suits the interests of their big business mates.
Last week, Labor requested to see the confidential volumes of the Trade Union Royal Commission. Well, now the government's offered them to you and you've declined to look at them. Why?
No, what we said was that the documents, the two volumes, confidential volumes that the Royal Commissioner has said should remain confidential, and he's said why, should be made generally available if the government is choosing to use them for the political gaming that it is choosing to use them for by showing them to selected crossbenchers.
And well, that's happening.
It's either confidential or it's not. We told the government last week that what they should be doing, if they are going to give it to the crossbenchers on whatever conditions, it should be made available to everyone that's interested to read them.
Well,
the government has declined to do that.
Well, they have said that it would make it available to you, haven't they?
They've tried on a game.
Well, hang on the one hand you're saying let me look, and on the other hand you're saying
making it available to one selected front bencher in the opposition is not the same as making a document generally available. And on extraordinary conditions, that would mean that I am not able to tell my colleagues about the contents of the document. Now, okay. We don't do our politics that way, and the government shouldn't be either. The government shouldn't be making a game of this Royal Commission. These confidential volumes don't contain any recommendations for prosecution, don't contain any referrals to the criminal prosecution authorities, and they should remain confidential because that's what the Royal Commissioner said should happen.
Okay. It's been reported the government is also discussing voting reform with you to prevent the micro parties gaming, just talking about gaming the preference system to win Senate spots. You support that, don't you?
We've had a report done by the Joint Standing Committee on Electoral Matters, which reported in May 2014, which was looking at the circumstances of the 2013 election in which a number of senators were elected on microscopic proportions of the primary vote.
Sure. It would certainly make for a less interesting Senate, though, wouldn't it?
It would make for a differently composed Senate, which would probably, if the system were to be changed, not have these pop-up parties. Now, the Senate, the Joint Standing Committee on Electoral Matters recommended some changes, notably that group tickets should be abolished and that there should be optional preferential voting for a limited number of candidates rather than the present situation where you either vote above the line or you vote for up to hundreds, more than 100 candidates. Most people find it pretty difficult to fill out a ballot paper in
that
way.
There's no doubt that you'd support that. And you want to see less of these
talking,
people in the Senate. The
opposition is talking with the government and we are talking among ourselves as to what is the right way to reform Senate voting processes. We are not in government. It's a matter for the government to put forward a proposal. We're hoping that occurs soon.
Okay, just quickly on the High Court. The High Court's going to decide today, as we've heard, if the government has the power to send asylum seekers to offshore detention centres back there. Now, offshore detention, as we know, was re-established by the Labor government in 2012. Kevin Rudd struck the deal that established the Manus Island. Manus Island is an offshore detention centre. What happens if the High Court finds this is unconstitutional?
Well, if the High Court finds that this is unconstitutional, and I'm not giving a quote as to which way they're going to find, we'll know in 10:15 this morning, then those people that Australia has been instrumental in placing on Nauru will have to come back to Australia. But whatever the outcome, it's important that the government deal with the extraordinary situation that this government, not the Rudd government, which introduced, as you correctly said, Michael, the policy of saying if you come to Australia by boat, you won't be settled in Australia.
Yeah, and established Manus Island.
And established Manus Island and re-established a centre on Nauru, both of which Australia is responsible for. And because we funded and we trained for the running of those centres and we manage, we provide the management of those centres. No one envisaged when this system was set up that 2.5 years later, people, men, women and children, would be languishing in these centres.
So is it time to rethink it?
Would be languishing in these centres facing indefinite detention, because that's the current situation. We've heard nothing from Mr Turnbull, nothing from Mr Dutton, that in any way offers any prospect to any of those people that this indefinite detention is going to be
brought
to an end.
But that is the current situation, as you said, and we've heard some pretty graphic stuff recently. A paediatrician spoke to the ABC 7:30 program last night, saying that there had been a report, there was a report of sexual assault every 13 days, most of those against children. I mean, clearly, it must be time to rethink this policy.
These are shocking stories that we've heard. The government, of course, has now been shown up for disgracefully attacking over allegations.
So do you think the policy should be overturned?
I'd say again that the policy has been instrumental in bringing
the flow of refugees to Australia by boat to an end. It's time to overturn that policy.
We did not envisage, when we introduced this policy, that 2.5 years on, you would have more than 1,000 men, women and children languishing in indefinite detention. It is time for the government to do a great deal more to end the dreadful circumstances in which these men, women and children
are
presently existing.
Is it time to end offshore detention?
Well, I don't think it's necessary to say that it's time to end that policy. What does need to be done is that the government's got to do a great deal more so that we don't have people in this situation. 2.5 years is an eternity, Michael, particularly for children. And this present situation can't be allowed to continue.
Okay. Mark Dreyfus, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Michael.
Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus there.